This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game 3 World Series tonight. Yes, and by the way, Evan and Tiki will be taking it all the way up to Yankees pregame. They will be doing the show from the stadium later today. I also did find out that the weekday hosts are getting paid extra for these weekend shows, so all the information just flows right to me, man. I tell you, you know, anytime we ask a question on the air, we get these answers.
Well, that's good. I know you're kind of large and in charge around here right now.
Not really.
I mean, don't deflect like you're Aaron Rodgers saying like you don't have as much power as, you know.
I don't have any power.
We think you got a lot of power.
No, you are the Aaron Rodgers of WFN, but you just make better decisions. You've got the type of power, you do the right thing. And
well,
you're not a loser.
I'm not.
And you got
I'm
a great not. Record, unlike the Jets.
Okay.
But you're the guy, you know?
Yeah, okay.
The old savvy vet.
Sage?
Yeah. Yes. Who comes in and been here for a long time and lets everybody know what the deal is and how to handle yourself, you know, but it's working for you. It's not working for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Well, he's got people coming after him. I don't have people coming after me physically anyway.
Well, that is true. You did, though, for many years in the
NFL. I did. So I can say that I've walked a mile in his shoes.
Indeed. And this situation here with the Jets, you've now have that in common with him as well.
It's really unfortunate because, you know, for you and I, it's so much better when a team is winning, as we found out with the Mets this year unexpectedly. Which we have found out with the Yankees. I have to remind Yankee fans and the Yankee fans in my life, you guys are actually playing in the World Series right now. We're not in the middle of May. This is the World Series. Mm-hmm. You've made it here.
Yeah.
And while it deserves the criticism it is getting over the first two games in this series, especially geared towards certain players and the manager, it goes without question that you're here. I mean, you're right in the middle. You still have a chance. It's never over. You know, how many times have my New York Rangers been down 3-1 in a series and have come back and won it?
Well, hell, the Yankees in their illustrious history have one of those examples. 1996, they were down 2-0 and they ended up winning. Start of the dynasty. So, yes, it is not ideal. You really thought that you blew game one, which you did. And really all you wanted was a split. You didn't get it. And now it's going to be, you know, sphincter shrinkage time at the stadium. That's why you got to jump out right away. Right away.
This has got to be one of those games where, you know, the Yankees have got to just dominate this game. Because they could say whatever they want about Shohei Ohtani. He's not going to be right. And I doubt he's going to be stealing bases. And I doubt he's going to be running like a maniac on the bases, which he has done, which is really something that I have to say in the first two games, really impressed by. Like, he comes out of that box, he is flying out of that box. I mean, there is no doubt when he knows he has, a potential for an extra base hit, he is out of that box and he is flying. And I didn't realize how fast he was. I knew he was fast.
Well, I mean, he stole over 50 bases.
Let me tell you something. He is a great five-tool player, and you can throw a six-tool in there when he's pitching.
You're just figuring this out.
No. I mean, like, it's really obvious when you watch him as much as we now have watched him through these last two series.
Yeah, of course.
Now, he's not having a great offensive series by you expect home runs. And I thought that first pitch from Gerrit Cole was going to be out.
I know, which is funny. I got a bunch of texts.
Got a bunch of texts that you almost called that.
But the reason I called it is because I know Gerrit Cole and his mindset. He's going to go up there and he's going to groove a fastball and say, "Go ahead, see what you can do with this."
Right.
And Ohtani almost knocked it out of the park.
I know. Well, you want to get off to a good start. You want to throw that strike and get the World Series. You don't want to, get the World Series going. And Ohtani's like, okay, you're going to put it in this area. Bang.
You got last year's Cy Young Award winner against an MVP. And you're like, okay.
Yep.
This is it. Here it is, man. This is mano a mano. That's why your take on Gerrit Cole not arguing or trying to fight to stay in does really resonate with me a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it. I've seen so many pitching changes that we all have with these bullpens and how these guys can't wait to take the starters out. But there's a handful of guys out there that I always would expect, if their pitch count, especially if it's under 100 and you're cruising and you're still throwing in the high 90s, to be like, are you nuts? No. Like, especially with Gerrit Cole's history, the fact that he's always had that big personality and he's a Yankee fan growing up and he's in the World Series and he's no, you're not taking me out of this game, man. I don't care what your stupid computer says. No. Like, I'm going to just give me more time.
And by the way, I'm not backing off. I still think the Yankees are going to win this.
Well, you also said, you insulated yourself.
I did?
You insulated
yourself.
I said
yourself. You had to win the first game, then you would
You said the team who won the first game would go on to win the series. And you also said the Yankees would win. So
the Yankees had the game. They should have won.
Yeah, I know. But really, so you've put yourself in a situation where you could be right either way.
Yeah, but I don't want to be that way. I want to hold on to what I think is still the truth. I think the Yankees can and will win this.
So you had Yankees in 7.
I did.
I had Dodgers in 6. Al had Dodgers in 5.
So when you have Yankees in 7, you know you're going to lose games, and there are going to be reasons why you're losing games.
Oh, 3 of them.
And the point being is that the last 2 games, incessantly on this radio station for 2 days, it's just been nonstop why they lost and how close they were to winning these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of that's the story of a 7-game series. That's the beauty of a 7-game series, if you can get it to 7 games, is that you have so many twists and turns.
Yeah, I actually think that I'm hesitant to say this. I think the Yankees get it to 2-2. I'm not going to change my determination that they lose in 6, but I actually think that they even the series in that game 5 on Wednesday is going to be humongous.
Yes.
And I really hope that's the case, too. But I happen to love the Yankees tonight in the game. They are a favorite, so I don't know if I just bet the money line. A pretty big favorite, but I absolutely love the Yankees tonight. Let's go to Mark in Manhattan. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you? Always love your show. But just listening to you guys this morning, you're kind of boomer. You sound foolish talking about Soto. I mean, like, Soto has been as every much an MVP as any player on the Yankees. It's crazy for you to have a take on him. I mean, yeah, he had maybe a struggle of a couple plays in the field, but my God, the guy is, I think he's the best hitter in baseball.
I didn't say anything about his hitting. I did not say one thing about his hitting, Mark. And by the way, we have you. You think
said that you mocked his fielding. Yeah, right?
Well, his fielding deserves to be mocked.
The Mets would love to have a guy like that.
Maybe the Mets do. Maybe the Mets. I even asked Gio this morning. I said, I don't necessarily know that I need to be paying $600 million just for a guy that's going to be hitting. They paid Ohtani $700 million because he's a pitcher and a hitter.
The Mets should pay him every penny they can to get him on their lineup.
Well, maybe they will.
In the field, doesn't matter. Now, the other part, too, is players win and lose games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now Boone has had a terrible series. Yeah, listen, the logic he used to put Cortez in that game is absurd. Now, he didn't make the decision alone, but the logic they used was bizarre. So players win and lose games, but Boone has just crippled them at the end of these games. I mean, it's absurd the decisions he's made.
Yeah, I'm right. And
in that vein, I'm right, I guess.
Yeah.
I think we're all right. I think we all see it the same way.
I think. And it was a first guess for everybody. I mean, I think that, there's no doubt that CeeLo said, I don't know if it was on or off the air, but CeeLo said, he's got a great arm, which we mentioned earlier, but his instincts out there sometimes and his routes to balls and then playing balls off the wall and things like that, it's not It's not elite like the rest of his game. It's not even above average like the rest of his game.
I'm not questioning the kind of hitter he is, and I'm not questioning the type of impact he has had on the Yankees. It's one of the reasons why, in the middle of July, I said, guys, you got Soto and Judge in your lineup. You're going to the World Series.
Yeah.
Just relax. Now, when you get to the World Series, it was kind of a cakewalk with Kansas City and Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, now you're playing a team that, you know, is mind-numbingly good at what they do. Like, they're just annoying because they're so good.
Yeah, so you can beat the Royals and you can beat the Guardians with Aaron Judge being a C-minus version of himself.
And you can run yourself into rundowns and things of right. that nature.
You can't beat the Dodgers.
You can't beat the Dodgers playing either lazy baseball or just the lack of fundamental baseball. You got to be on it.
And Aaron Judge can't have this series. They are incapable of winning this series if Aaron Judge is a zero the rest of the way. It's impossible. Like, they just, that's what they're built on. Unless you have, like, Soto and Stanton, you know, hitting 500 with 10 home runs between them in the series. Like, you just can't have what Aaron Judge is doing.
Especially if the bottom of your lineup is not going to be doing much.
Which it hasn't.
They manufacture a run here or there, but I mean,
I'm curious to see if there's going to be anything. You know, I know a lot of fans just, you know, based on X, which take it for what you will, but are you know, screaming for Dominguez again. But I mean, Dominguez is another one of these adventures out there defensively. I heard C-Max, they put Grisham out there, which he made a lot of sense saying that. So it'll be interesting to see if Aaron Boone tweaks or Brian Cashman, the analytics guys, and Aaron
Verdugo,
Boone.
They take Verdugo out?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see whether or not they're panicky or they're going to run it back.
No, but is it panicky or is it just like, hey, you know, we're in this series. This hasn't been working. Here's an adjustment. We got guys in this roster for a reason.
I mean, the Mets did that with Jeff O'Neill.
Jeff McNeil, and it
Jeff
worked.
McNeil. Oh, yes. No. Jeff McNeil.
And it worked. Yes. Yep. So, it worked one day.
Yes.
It worked in game five. And it wasn't just, they also, you know, they put Winker back in too that game for game five.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, McNeil came off of the injured list.
He did. Well, and he didn't do much in that game. Tweaked the lineup a little bit.
Not panicking.
Right. Not panicking. It's not a panic, it's a tweak. I mean, panicking would be like dropping Aaron Judge to eighth.
That's not happening.
That's a panic.
There's no way that's happening.
You know what I'm saying? Of course it's not.
I could see people saying put him in front of Soto, but I mean, Soto's been so good from the hitting standpoint. Why would you mess with that?
Let's go to Tom in Morris County. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Boomer and Gio.
What's up?
So watching the game the other night, back to the Mookie Betts walk. So like you, I mean, I thought it was crazy. I read an article the next morning that when Verdugo caught the ball and went into the stand, the ball was dead, so the players advanced to second and third. So when you were watching the game, you didn't see that. That's actually what happened, which made the walk make more sense. Wanted to see if you guys heard that or what you thought about
that. I mean, of course, I mentioned it before that the runners had already moved up and then first base was open when the caller called up and said that, so I had gone back and made sure that was the case.
Think about this. You know, you had. We've already had a number of crazy things happen in this game. The Verdugo catch is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Cortez comes in. The other one is the fan interference on Gleyber Torres.
Yeah,
I mean, you have the adventures of Juan Soto in right field. I mean, you have Aaron Judge striking out six times. You have Shohei Ohtani hurting his shoulder.
I mean, a walk-off grand slam in a World Series game is a pretty big deal, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's only been two games, and think about everything that has already taken place. On top of both managers, you know, working out of their analytics books.
Did you mention Ohtani getting hurt, too?
Did you throw
that in there? Yes, yeah, I mean, it's another thing. Robert in Florida, what's going on, Robert?
Yeah, Puma and Gio.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, I love your show. I watch it every morning. And I was wondering what you thought about on the Torres hit in the ninth inning. I thought the replay showed that the ball was going to go over the wall And I don't understand why it's not he's not awarded a home run. The umps ruled that you couldn't tell and that the ball might have been hitting the top of the wall. But it seemed to me from the replay, and I don't know why Boone wasn't out there screaming and hollering about it.
Because it's a hard thing to project, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. What it looks like and what it is are two different things.
Yeah. Well, I'll acknowledge I'm a lifelong Yankee fan. I grew up in the borough of Queens in the early 50s when you had three great baseball teams and you had the arguments about Willie, Mick, and the Duke.
Robert, I will tell you this, you know, just... You got one with Jeffrey Mayer, and you lost one here.
Yeah, so it evens out.
Kind of even out.
Right. But, I mean, that's one of those things. It's like, why did the umpire, you know, like, it looked to me like it was going to. But, I mean, when you look at a replay and stuff like that.
You got StatCast that can tell you exactly where it's going.
You're right. You know what? That is, they did say that. Interesting.
Yes.
But you can't, but that's not an official way to, it's unofficial, right? I
mean, yeah, but they looked at it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Dead.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is back. He's got plenty for us. What's up, CeeLo?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So the Jets have had a lot of these days up in Foxborough across the last 20 plus years, but of course, usually with Belichick on the sideline and Brady under center. Not the case here in 2024. But still, disaster would ensue.
44-yard attempt. Zuerlein has missed a point after. And this kick from 44, wide left. And the Jets come up empty.
And a lot of that this year, Spiro Agoutis on CBS.
What was amazing was how bad the extra point was.
Well, they had the laces in right. From Thomas Morstead.
You
got to
get the laces right. I know it's a little thing for the kickers.
It wasn't close.
I mean...
Yeah, the Greg the Leg nickname is
long gone
in the rearview mirror. Yep, yes. Yep. So that missed field goal there would have extended their lead from 2-5. Ultimately, though, they led by 5 with under 3 minutes to go. Couldn't close it out as the defense yielded a 12-play, 70-yard touchdown drive to Jacoby Brissett and company. Brissett taking over for the concussed Drake May. And Ramondre Stevenson's second touchdown of the game put New England ahead. They got the 2-point conversion as well for a 25-22 victory. Both teams are now 2-6, which is kind of hard to fathom when you consider where we were looking at things at the beginning beginning of the season, and certainly the case for interim head coach Jeff Olbrich.
Especially down the stretch right there, we had opportunities to win this game, should have won this game, and we didn't. So give credit to the Patriots. They took advantage of a team that didn't execute as well as they can.
Each week, turning to the same phrases and answers, but Olbrich knows he can't even do that anymore, at least not right now.
We talk about being at our best when our best required, and that was not it. That's on coaching, first of all, and then second, we got to execute, and we did not execute in critical moments. We say that's not who we are, but it's who we are until we demonstrate otherwise.
Very much so. 2-6 football team, 5 straight losses. Offensively, the clock management stuff just brutal. Delay of game penalties, especially on the 2-point conversion play after the go-ahead score there in the fourth quarter. And burning through all the first half timeouts in the first quarter alone. Here was Aaron Rodgers on that.
One of them we were legging out the huddle. One, I was trying to get the protection right. One, I felt like we could have gotten off, but, you know, it's fine to take it there. But, yeah, it's our operation was a little slow at times.
It just looks bad. You know, it's bad, you know, just because you're losing timeouts, and maybe they don't mean anything just simply because of the way the first half played out. But at the end of the day, it's part of the process and problem that the Jets are having. So when you watch them on TV and this kind of stuff goes on, you're sitting there scratching your head going, do they know what's going on? Are they actually being coached? Do they understand where everybody's supposed to be? I mean, there's really no explanation for it. I can understand maybe once, but 3 times and on a 2-point play?
And it's been happening a lot this season. Now, there have been a couple times where they have to close up on him and he's barking at the sideline, you know, send it in. I don't know if he means again or faster. But then there's these instances where he's just casually at the line of scrimmage looking at things, and there's no
sense of urgency.
The sense of urgency.
You want to see that. I don't know. Yeah. Put him in no huddle. Do something. Put him in a 2-minute offense, or just try to change the momentum.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, their second halves have just not been good enough.
Nope. Not even close. And then just back to Zuerlein for a minute. So they had Austin Seibert in camp with Zuerlein this summer. Obviously, they stuck with Zuerlein over Seibert. So Seibert goes down to Washington. He's 23 out of 24, which is the best percentage in football. So when it rains, it pours, and that's the situation for the Jets here. Niners held off the Cowboys in Santa Clara last night, 30-24. You had this third quarter catch and run for George Kittle at a big game. So he goes down the sideline, and Trayvon Diggs appeared to be, I guess we'll call it maybe jogging a bit, not going 100% in pursuit, though he did end up pushing Kittle out of bounds. There were a couple of other guys that missed.
So, it's called the Deontay Banks.
All right. Well, this is Mike Leslie, sports anchor at WFAA in Dallas. So he quote tweets the video and says, or asks, what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? And leave it at that. Game ends. Diggs goes into the locker room, must grab his phone immediately, hops on Twitter. Someone must have sent this his way. He sees this tweet from Mike Leslie. Proceeds to come out of the locker room, still in full uniform, pads on and everything. Finds Leslie there, I guess, waiting to go into the locker room. Locker room hasn't been opened yet. And here's how their exchange went.
How that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
How that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
What you don't hear there, and then go ahead, Jay, if you want.
Yeah, and what he says is he's going to the locker room, it fades off. He goes, after the reporter says, we can talk more about it, Trayvon says, we can talk about these nuts. Which is just an all-time response in that situation. We can talk about it more. No. We can talk about these nuts, though. Great. God, I love the D's nuts jokes when they come out. It just really is. It makes me so happy.
And to Mike Leslie's credit, he then put this video out or quote tweeted it. And hey, he approached me and this was the exchange. And how Diggs told him that he can't do what he does. He says he and I are in agreement about that. He didn't offer an answer as to what he was doing on the play, however. And I do not have a comment about D's nuts.
D's nuts?
So Things are going well for the Cowboys, as you can see and hear there, as they fall to 3-4 on the year. The Niners get a much-needed win. They are back to 500 at 4-4. Let's go to Landover again. Commanders, Bears in the late national window. So Jaden Daniels ended up playing through that rib injury. He was a question mark throughout the week. So you get the matchup with Caleb Williams, top two picks in the draft. And it wasn't exactly an offensive clinic, but the Bears did rally late to take the lead. And that left Washington with a Hail Mary situation from their own 48 on what turned out to be the final play of the game. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the TV call for CBS.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Romo, he did it! And everyone goes nuts on the sidelines. You got Dan Quinn out there. Eventually, he's, you know, basically rips his headset off and spikes it down.
I will say, Romo has not gotten a lot of credit for anything the last couple of years. The play before the Hail Mary... He was like, you got to go right here. Boom, boom, boom. He's like, do it in 2 seconds, so then you'll be able to reach the end zone.
Yeah.
He actually drew the exact line of where he said this is where you should run the route, and they did exactly that. And then, obviously, this happens, which is just pure insanity. They got a special thing going on there down in Washington. New owner, different feel, superstar quarterback. It's, this is what the Giants would love to have going for them.
Yeah. That's what Brian Daboll, I think, wanted him, based on what we heard in Hard Knocks.
And said as much.
Yep. Yes, he did. So Tyreek Stevenson for the Bears is getting grilled because he's taunting the crowd as the snap of this play is happening, and he ends up running back into position, ultimately tips the ball backwards into Noah Brown's waiting arms for the score. He did hop on X last night and took the high road, accountability and all that, but I'm sure he'll be getting the business from his teammates and from the fan base throughout the course of the week. The Broncos handled the Panthers out in Denver 28-14. It was 28-7 after three, but then the Broncos allowed, we'll call it a window dressing touchdown in the final few seconds, and it seemed to stick in the craw of Sean Payton after the game, though he did sort of credit his defense here.
They went 9 straight drives without scoring. How impressive and how impressed with you were the defense today?
I was. I wish we would have finished better. I said this, it's not a good offense we played. It's just the truth. So we expected that, and we're going to see a lot better teams.
A little open shot at Carolina there. I mean, not wrong at all.
And I watched a lot of this game just because I had Bo Nix going in a big fantasy matchup, so I was sitting there watching a lot of this. Bryce Young should not be out there at all. I mean, he plays scared. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I mean, it's so bad for him. Like, he had, like, this little 4-yard run that wasn't a design run. But, like, he looked, like, so relieved and so happy he had gained 4 yards after he almost got sacked. It just shows you where he's at. Like, It's like sad watching him. And Andy Dalton, who's in this car accident, is probably going to miss next week, too. I don't know who they're playing, but whoever it is just going to have a field day with them because he cannot play. I mean, it reminds me of the worst of Zach Wilson, if not worse than that. I mean, he's
worse than that.
He plays scared.
Yeah. No, he's definitely worse than that.
Really bad.
They've got the Saints at home next week, Carolina. And then the Giants. So maybe the Giants will get to feast on Bryce Young in a couple of weeks. We'll see if that happens.
That's that game out in Germany.
Oh, that's right. The Munich game.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, that's going to be a bad one. Just a little bit more color to that Peyton comment there. So I guess the Panthers hadn't quite waved the white flag late. They were still calling timeouts or whatnot.
Yeah.
So Denver ran a fake field goal and a trick play up 28-7 in the fourth quarter, and then J.C. Horn from the Panthers was barking at Peyton after the game. So there was a little back and forth.
Yeah, Peyton just say, hey, look, man, you want to call it a game? I'll call it a game with 10 minutes to go. But if you're going to continue to play, we're going to continue to play. That's all there is to it.
The fake field goal may be a bit much. But
I'd also say don't take anything for granted.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. You got the Giants and the Steelers tonight out in Pittsburgh. 6:15 coverage on 11:30 a.m. It's also available on the free Odyssey app. The reason it's on 11:30 a.m. is because you got the Yankees and the Dodgers playing Game 3 of the World Series on both WFAN AM and FM.
Greg Giannotta. The TV ratings for the World Series?
I have not.
Very good.
I would think.
Very, very good.
If not this year, when?
I think Saturday night actually had a better rating than Friday night, but Friday night's was over 15 million.
You think that was a product of the day of the week or because people got invested at, walk-off grand slam in game one? Let me check this out.
We were talking about it last week. We were talking about how you got two stars in this game, Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. It's the Yankees, the Dodgers. There's a lot of people interested in this, and the ratings reflected that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the Giants-Steelers in New York versus the Yankees-Dodgers in New York tonight.
7:25 coverage here on The Fan. It's Clark Schmidt opposed by Walker Buehler. I brought this up last hour, but here was the clip real quick. Schmidt speaking before Game 2, kind of a little interesting side story involving his family and the team.
Did your dad fly the plane here for you guys?
Yes, he did, yeah.
What's that like? I think it happened maybe one other time last year, but just... I mean, to the World Series of all places, how cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a special moment. I think he's flown us before, and it was a really special moment for him. And a lot of the guys, they loved it. And staff members, they had a really great time being able to kind of see some things they don't really get to see.
Former Marine pilot, and he was showing off the cockpit. He said he's very, like, an aviation geek and loves to talk about it, so... Kind of a cool little side angle. Now they're back in the Bronx. He'll be on the mound tonight. Obviously, the Yankees looking for an improvement at the plate from Aaron Judge as they look to get themselves back into this series. Basketball, Nets over the Bucks, 115-102. Cam Thomas paced Brooklyn with 32 points. You get the Knicks and the Cavs tonight at the Garden. And over at Prudential Center last night, the Devils did beat the Ducks 6-2. A couple of goals for Stephen Nason.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, ton going on today, of course, with the Jets and the Yankees and the Giants play on Monday Night Football against the Steelers. But I just had to spend a couple of minutes on this story that is just, I always like to say this is so 2024, right? This has got 2024 written all over it. This was one of these stories. So one of the Walking Bets girls... Taylor Mathis.
Okay.
You've seen her?
Yes.
All right. So I'm just scrolling on Friday afternoon, and she puts out this post on X about how she wants to kill herself, and she didn't know what was going on, and I'm so sorry, and I'll explain. And I'm like, what? So now I'm like, I got to figure this out. And I immediately send Al all the stuff because I know we have talked about these Walking Bets girls and everything else. So I'm going to do my best to try to explain this thing.
Okay.
But if you really want to read more about it, there's people who have done a really great job of laying it out. So essentially, because she puts her boobies out there on social media, she became a big star, right? Nobody cares about her bets. She throws her boobs out there. They bounce up and down when she walks, and people watch her. Like, that's what this is, right? Anybody?
And by the way, no.
Anybody want to refute that?
No, she's very funny, and she...
It's not funny. She's not funny. She's not anything but someone that has large breasts who walks and talks to you about sports. Like, that's her in. She's not funny. I mean, she's not Shane Gillis.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying she's not off-putting.
No, because her boobies are in your face.
Oh, okay.
So, like, she's an attractive person who puts her boobies out there that they bounce up and down, and she talks about sports. Nobody's actually betting what she's saying, but that's how she gains popularity. So as she's gaining popularity and followers, she gets involved with someone in the cryptocurrency community who decides to make a Taylor coin for her, right? So she's just has no idea what's going on. She claims, I know nothing about cryptocurrency. I don't know what's going on. But they made this coin, and I'm seeing more followers come in. And, like, maybe it'd be cool to get the crypto community and the sports gambling community together, which they've been together for a decade already. But I don't know what she's talking about. So she's just, like, wrapped up in this whole thing. So then, you know, the coin goes up when she acknowledges the coin. And then it starts plummeting down, and she sells the coin, and then she gets backlash for selling her stakes in the coin, and then rebuys at the bottom, And then the thing shoots back up again because she rebuys it. And then people are like, oh my God, the booby bet girl is pumping and dumping this cryptocurrency.
Pumping and dumping, okay.
So you know what, obviously you know what that is. I mean, in the stock market and cryptocurrency, like basically like, hey, I'm going to pump this thing up. I'm going to say a bunch of stuff about it.
Then, I'm going to sell it.
And then I'm going to sell it.
She should run for Congress.
Right. So all is that people are coming at her, you know, you fraud, you pump it and dump it, blah, 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 blah. And she just is completely overwhelmed. Now, she puts out this video, and I actually believe her because I don't think she's particularly bright. And I believe that she was completely overwhelmed with this. And she's like Taylor Mathis, the booby bet girl, doesn't know. It's like she's not thinking I'm going to be pumping and dumping cryptocurrency.
Get arrested.
Like, there's no way.
Right.
Like, this is not Sam Bankman Fried. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. It's not what's going on here. So anyway, she puts out this whole video about it, explaining it. But the bottom line is someone will, I'm sure, at some point, investigate what went on here to make sure that she's telling the truth. But you could not have a more, as we approach the end of 2024, a more 2024 story than the walking booby Beck girl getting wrapped up in a pump and dump cryptocurrency scandal.
The walking booby Beck girl caught up in Bitcoin.
No, it was not even Bitcoin.
It was her own.
It was her own coin.
Oh,
Taylor. Okay. It was her own coin, which is just insane. And then the other walking bet girl, who Al fancies, Lucy Burge, like, so she pipes in on social media and she was like, yeah, I was trying to warn you guys. And then Taylor Mathis was like, you're so disgusting for this. So the two of them are going back and forth, the two walking booby bet girls.
Then I was looking at the replies to both of their tweets. Oh, the people were just killing both of them. It's crazy. I was like, man, what goes on some of these women sports betting at mentions or whatever? There's a lot going on there.
No, there is. And there's a psychology to it all. You know, I mean, we could really delve deep into the male psychology of this because I was thinking about the same thing. But like, it's like a man going to a bar, and then if her bets don't work out that she gave you, it's like the girl at the bar not giving you the attention that you want and rejecting you. And it's like the same thing that now that person's the ugliest a-hole in the world when you were just there to get something from them. And when you didn't get it, now I'm just going to completely tear this person down to the ground.
Yeah, and then you also get the guys who know they're getting attacked, so now I'm going to be the nice guy in this situation.
Exactly.
And say nice things.
Yeah, come in there and be like, because they're doing that with all the other people that get bullied on social media, right? Not just the big booby bet girl who's in distress. Like, I'm sure they're coming in, you know, when Frank Fleming gets bullied, I'm sure they're right there in the same thing. Hey, whatever you need, Frank. No, it's big booby bet girl. You're trying to get attention from her. And all of you are losers.
Oh, man.
It's amazing.
How much time did you spend on this?
45 minutes.
All right, okay. That was 45 minutes that you're never going to get back.
No, but I enjoy, because things like this, I actually enjoy. Like, I enjoyed, and then sending it to Al, and then I go to my buddy, who's a big sports gambling guy. He's cracking up about the whole thing. You know, it's just, I enjoyed it.
At the end of the day, she's safe, she's fine, everything good.
You know, I don't know. I think she's probably still a little bit traumatized from the whole thing.
Did she say that she was going to commit suicide?
She did say, right out, the thing I sent you?
Yeah. And it was, and in fact, later on, after you had sent it to me, by the time I got to seeing it, I was surprised it was still up there and she hadn't deleted it.
And she still feels like, oh, wow.
She goes, I honestly have never been in such a dark place in my life. I honestly want to kill myself. I have made no money off of this. And all the false information out there is disgusting. I don't know how people do this to people.
Man, there's a lot of darkness going on.
A lot of darkness right now. Yeah. Yeah, the Jets could use a big booby girl just to walk into the facility. Like, da-da-da-da-da. Let's talk about offense.
They need something, that's for sure.
Just cheer everybody up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app